We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on the upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Wednesday. We're all business today with senior reporter from the Milwaukee Business Journal, Rich Kirchen. Rich joins us today. Bunch of topics and headlines on the docket. New to you restaurants, an Elkhorn-based brewery making its way to Milwaukee. Insight on how a conservative influencer, Robbie Starbuck, got into several prominent Wisconsin companies. A new Milwaukee connection at Walmart. Ooh, a Milwaukee connection at Target as well. Oh, all this and so much more. But as we do each and every beginning of the upswing, producer Jaslyn, let's go two up.
Up one, two. Now it's time for the
2 up
on the upswing.
My morning review of all my digital media news, TikTok has its target locked on you. This is from a site called DigiDay. We are now, 5 weeks and 6 days out from the presidential election? And if you or your kids or your grandkids are locked into TikTok, look out. Even more and more targeted advertising is coming your way. As of yesterday, the short-form video giant has rolled out its search ads campaign tool, giving advertisers even more ability to target ads based upon what users are actively searching for. The goal is to turn those searches, of course, into more ad dollars by matching ads with user intent and then cashing in on exactly what users want. This is all according to DigiDay. Up until now, TikTok, its approach to advertising has been, you know, pretty unique in the ad world. Marketers couldn't specifically pick keywords, but the platform's algorithm would match and kind of play matchmaker and pair the relevant ads with individual searches based upon what the users were seeing and interacting with. So this takes it to a whole new level. On top of that, now advertisers will be able to target both traffic and web conversions, meaning even more fine-tuning in the digital ad world is coming our way. Next up, a sad closure on North Avenue. Just outside Wauwatosa in the city of Milwaukee, the North Avenue Market at 59th and North Avenue in Milwaukee. It opened in 2022. It is closed. The building will soon be listed for either lease or sale. Did a little research this morning. The building was built in 1949 and has a 2023 assessed value of $497,700. The owner of the North Avenue Market posted on Facebook yesterday, "Dear community, after trying numerous ways to enrich our community through a variety of shared experiences here at the North Avenue Market, without the ability for the space to be self-sustaining, we have made the extremely difficult decision to close our facility effective today." That is September 24th, yesterday. By the end of the day, the owner continued, "At the end of the day, their monthly expenses continued to far exceed their monthly revenue, leading to a model that was unable to be sustainable." We'll keep our eye on the next steps of that building. For sure, that food hall business is challenging. You got to have the tenants to rent the space. You got to be creative in terms of kind of building the business. And especially right now, well, the restaurant business, it's a tough one. We wish the owner all the best moving forward. And I'm sure, like most restaurant spaces, it will find a new owner and turn over. That's the beautiful thing about change. Next up, Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. We are going to get some coffee, though, first. The Upswing Coffee Index. This is WTMJ.
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's the Upswing's Coffee Index.
Black coffee index. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The Upswing Coffee Index. It was perfect weather for a walk-up coffee window on Downer Avenue. I stopped at the Stone Creek this morning. $2.98 for a 12-ounce half-regular, half-decaf. I did the darker roast with a... Actually, the darker roast has a little less caffeine in it. That's my coffee insight for the day. Some people go the lighter roast because they think it has less caffeine. It's actually just the reverse. But I had loyalty points, too, so I could have got a free one, but I saved those for the next time. Producer Jaslyn, you went all out this morning. You went big time. I'm a little jealous.
I didn't mean to. It's just how it... Listen, I'm not very knowledgeable on coffee types. So, well, maybe that's something we talk about next Monday, the day after a coffee.
Yes.
International Coffee Day. I paid $5.42 for a 12-ounce drip coffee at Discourse Coffee, which is very close to the Collectivo on Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of surprised it could exist, but it was a nice vibe. I was greeted immediately, so you know why not splurge a little? People are going to be that nice to you.
Little pour over style. That's very good. Rich Kirchen, what was your morning coffee? Do you stick with your good everyday?
I economized. I saved one penny. Compared to Jeff,
okay.
It's $2.97 with tax for a 12-ounce coffee of the day at Collectivo.
All right.
And I have heard that before, though, about you think black coffee is stronger, but it's not. That being said, I prefer a dark roast black coffee.
Very good. All right. I want to go back to the second story in the two up in the last segment, the North Avenue Market. And that building used to be, way back when, an Associated Bank, right?
Right.
Before the owners bought it and retrofitted it. What are your thoughts on the kind of the community food hall model? We've seen a lot of them in the metropolitan Milwaukee area.
Well, the two most prominent are the one where we are essentially sitting right now, the Third Street Market downtown, and then another one that's gotten a lot of attention and a lot of traffic and a lot of turnover at Farwell and North and
Crossroads.
Crossroads. Yeah. Collective. So this is a concept started, I guess, pre-pandemic sort of and coming out of the pandemic. The thing that both of us have observed is it's a challenging business model. On one hand, the idea is you have literally a collection of restaurants. People can walk in. They have multiple choices. But then for each of those restaurants to do enough traffic to make a go of it is not easy. And 59th and North does not have as much pedestrian or people stopping traffic as certainly downtown or that Farwell and North location.
Yeah. It's the businesses within a business model that you have to fill the spaces, and in order to fill those spaces so that the owner can pay the mortgage. So it's kind of constant turnover, and you got to have the volume to drive it. So, but at the same time, you know, they took a good chance, took the risk to do it, and now I think the space is retrofitted for the next owner, and that's kind of how the restaurant world sometimes works. One thing I know is that people really enjoy the restaurant opening stories. You know, what's happening at this space? What's happening here? Who's moving in? What's opening? What's closing? What have you heard anything about the Big B Coffee at Red Arrow Park in terms of when its opening day could be?
Yeah, we just had a story in recent days that they are going to open in November, certainly by Thanksgiving. It's been in the works for a while. I mean, that was a Starbucks for many years, and it's been closed now for a number of months. So a new concept. I think it's the second one in the Milwaukee area, and they're planning more. There's one that's going to open in Cudahy, I believe, next year on Packard. My only experience with Big B was traveling in Michigan, I don't know, 6 or 8 years ago. And it reminded me of Dunkin' in terms of what it looked and felt like.
Okay.
Maybe with more food than Dunkin'.
All right. Well, speaking of Dunkin', not far from the old WTMJ home on Capitol Drive, what's happening at the former Wong's Walk there? Another Dunkin' Donuts for the area?
Well, you know, you can never get enough Dunkin' Donuts, apparently. And over the last number of years, we've seen the for a while, it was the combination of the same shop would have Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin Robbins, and there's still some of those around.
Yeah, one right here in downtown Milwaukee.
The idea being in the morning you get your coffee and donut traffic, during the day and evening you'd sell ice cream. So here it's, you know, donuts in the morning, tacos the rest of the day. So Taco Pros and Dunkin', it's a Chicago developer that's opening, again, a number of these in the area.
Okay.
They've got one in Kenosha. And they're looking to open in Glendale next year. Tacos, Dunkin', and Crispin Green, which is salads.
And that's a new development on Port Washington Road.
Yes.
All right. So South Milwaukee has a place called Seafood Shack, and they are moving to the east side of Milwaukee. What do you know about that?
Speaking of that Farwell and North area, which is very busy hub on the east side, 2336 North Farwell. They sell crab boils, catfish, salmon, Philly, whatever that is, shrimp. That's like Philly cheese, Philly shrimp. I don't know. Chicken wings and more.
Okay.
So,
and that space, I think it was a Louis Char Dogs and Butter Burgers. Before that, it was a Japanese restaurant, I believe, called Osaka. Yeah, I really wish them good luck moving from South Milwaukee to the east side. A little different market there. You know, a lot of students, some residential, but a lot of nearby businesses. There's a Pizza Hut there. So I think it will be good for grab and go, you know, lunch and dinner crowd. A pretty dense area there on the east side of Milwaukee. Finally, old retro new candy in Muskego. This is a small business story, but I like these types of stories.
Yeah, it's called Sweet Treasures. It's going to be on Janesville Road in a previously the home, and I have to say I wasn't ever there, utter spot.
Okay, ooh.
But anyway, Sweet Treasures carries Krispies, Elegant Farmer, Chocolate Shop Ice Cream, all kinds of sweet goodies.
All right, there is your quick rundown of all that's new in the restaurant and small business world. Rich, what's your favorite candy?
Candy raisins.
Ooh, the old school nostalgia with the candy raisins. Aren't those made in Delafield?
They were brought back a number of years ago by an entrepreneur in Delafield who missed the taste of those because they weren't available for a long time. And they were making them in Delafield for a number of years. Now they outsource it, but they still are selling those around Milwaukee area and Wisconsin.
All right. More soda for Sprecher. That's up next. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing Business Headlines with Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. But first, we invite you to participate in the WTMJ Fall 2024 fan survey. It takes less than 10 minutes to complete it, and we want your feedback. To participate, all you have to do is simply text the word survey to the WTMJ talk and text line at 855-616-1620. That's 855-616-1620. A link will be texted back to you, and as a thank you for your participation, upon completion of the survey, you will be entered to win a package that includes two 2024-25 regular season Milwaukee Bucks tickets and an overnight stay at the beautiful Pfister Hotel right here in downtown Milwaukee. More soda coming from Sprecher. You had a big cover story last week on Sprecher's growth. They've really leaned into the acquisitions and driving the national distribution for their sodas.
Yeah. Drew Dawson on our staff had the cover story. They've really, under their new ownership since 2020, they still make beer. And that's where the company started in the mid-80s. But soda has really become the thing, both with the Sprecher brand and then some acquisitions. The thing that's really really ratcheted up their growth was forever you've been able to get the Sprecher sodas in bottles, but they started to package it in cans. They added a can line, which makes it much easier to work with some of these national retailers and statewide retailers to get on the shelves. But yes, they did. They've made some acquisitions in recent years, and thanks to Jazz for playing Green River by CCR. That was one of the brands they picked up when they bought Black Bear Beverages here in the Milwaukee area. But energy drink called Juvie,
Juvie.
hydration company called O2 Hydration Lemonade. Ooh la lemon.
Ooh, yes.
So, yes, diversifying, and they keep expanding their production in Glendale, gone from 55 employees in 2020 to 160 now.
Mm-hmm.
That includes sales reps across the country as well. But they are looking at possibly expanding their campus, you know, doing more capacity in Glendale in the near future.
Yeah, and they seem to have a greater focus on e-commerce and creative digital marketing too, kind of leaning into some of the e-gaming space as well with some of these acquisitions, which I'm sure creates an additional niche market for the soda brands.
Right.
Good to see. An Elkhorn beer is making its way to Greater Milwaukee. What do you know about this company?
I assume it's pronounced Doisterbecks because, you know, we had Doister's Lanes on the northwest side forever for all you bowlers out there. Doisterbecks Brewing Company, they just got a deal with Beer Capital Distributing here in the Milwaukee area, and that gets them into Milwaukee, Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington counties, and they are on the shelves now at Woodman's, Piggly Wiggly, and Ray's in Tulsa, as well as Total Wine.
They have a pretty unique beer. They have a peanut butter porter, Rich, called Nutty Bills. $24.85 for the 64-ounce growler. You get to keep the growler. You buy that online. Or $14.95 for the 32-ounce silo version. So, you know, that's a larger capacity for sure. But peanut butter porter, kind of interesting.
Yes, indeed.
Put it on the list. All right. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Bunch of business headlines to go through quickly from the 262. The Elkhorn-based company we were just discussing. Texter says it's Doisterbecks, but I kind of like Doisterbecks, too. You know, that's kind of the beauty of the entry into the area, right? Like, it's
right.
Dooster, Doister, both feel very Milwaukee, so I think they're going to do well in the market.
No doubt.
All right. Well, let's look at kind of another signature Milwaukee entity on the lakefront. Discovery World has held its camps mainly at its lakefront location, but last year did some work out in the suburbs. What do you know about Discovery World looking to grow its opportunities and maybe expand its campus to other areas?
Yeah, it's one of those things where they made temporary arrangements for their summer camps to be off-site, not at the lakefront, during the Republican convention this summer in Milwaukee. And they held camps at Waukesha County Technical College in Pewaukee. And a light bulb went off in their collective heads. And they said, hey, this is pretty good. We can do, I mean, we'll continue. They're getting some restraints to their capacity at the lakefront campus. They'll still do camps there, but next year they're seriously looking at making it more of a regular thing. You know, Waukesha County, other, you know, suburbs of Milwaukee. So yeah, that's going to be a new thing for Discovery World. Kids camps
and a really good tie-in to the STEM education and the technical education, obviously at Waukesha County Technical College. So a good way for them to expand their membership base and just expand their reach throughout metropolitan Milwaukee. So last week, Rich, you had a big interview, kind of a big one-on-one with conservative influencer Robbie Starbuck. Robbie's influence, if you will, has kind of led him to orchestrate campaigns against Harley Davidson, Molson Coors, and other big name companies. What did you learn when you talked to Robbie? And I don't know, give us some insights as to kind of his why.
Well, that's a good question. He has approximately 600,000 followers on X, formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah.
He's got obviously built sort of an outsized reputation as a one-man wrecking crew of companies that have implemented diversity, equity, and inclusion policies, typically for their internal audience, mm-hmm. For recruiting, retaining, promoting employees, training employees, where DEI is part of their calculus mm-hmm. and part of their strategy.
Right. And he's made it very public. These are all internal corporate policies, and obviously he's brought it very out front.
Yeah. So, it started really with Tractor Supply, which is a retailer. He lives in the Nashville area, and Tractor Supply is based there, and that's sort of where it started. And that was the first company that he started out with making videos where he documented what he thought were the quote-unquote woke policies of Tractor Supply. And within, I think, 2 or 3 weeks, and this has been repeated several times now with other companies, Tractor Supply backed off, said, yeah, we're going to drop our DEI programs, mm-hmm. whether it's internal to the company, or they also did some things in their stores where they had a Pride Day or Pride Week kind mm-hmm. of thing. Harley-Davidson, I think, was the third company. John Deere was in between, mm-hmm. Where it seemed like, yeah, I think that was within 3 weeks of when he introduced the video and then started pushing it on his social media. And then Molson Coors a few weeks later. So what's driving him?
Yeah.
He says he's always been very conservative, and he's always been bothered by what he views as corporate America, agreeing to these policies that he has a problem with. He thinks that certainly any hiring and promotion of employees should be based on merit.
Did he seem to care at all about his critics?
No. Okay. He's
what's his big picture play? Is this a self-funded initiative to run for office, or is it just an exposure thing, possibly to get new clients? Like, what's his big picture?
Yeah, his profession is video producer, which serves him well mm-hmm. when he's putting together videos on these companies. I mean, he used to literally do rap and rock videos, music videos.
Hmm.
So he knows how to produce these things. He's got a big megaphone now. He told me he's self-funding this. He has a small staff that does the research, and then he puts it out there. Yeah. I think he's charging subscriptions, like $5 a month, to some service that he provides.
Okay.
But he says he's doing it just because he says he's making enough money through his own video production business, and his and his wife's personal investments.
Okay.
So he's able to self-fund this. So according to him, it's just a crusade that he's doing for his cause.
Okay. All right. When we come back from the break, Walmart has a new partnership with a Milwaukee-based company. Business Headlines with Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, Business Headlines with Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Rich, Walmart has a new partnership that is all about growing jobs. What do you know about its alliance with Milwaukee-based
Manpower Group?
Yes.
Yes, Manpower has offices all around the country, which are basically recruitment offices. It's mm-hmm. like they set up on a busy street or where they think there will be prospective staffing, you know, temp or long-term employees. Yeah. And so they have two job hubs. One is in Sturtevant. The other's in High Point, North Carolina. And they're looking to open more. So it makes sense. They're looking at 7 to start. But they're saying, hey, there's traffic. And in some of these communities, I mean, Walmart is almost a gathering place.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they're looking to, you know, build their base of potential employees for opportunities across the country. And they're just going where the people are.
Right, right. And I'm sure they're looking to recruit people to work at Walmart.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. You'd think there would be other opportunities also available at the Manpower.
Yeah. Well, we've seen Manpower in the past open up kind of retail centers in downtown Milwaukee to, you know, build its base for employee recruitment and retention. So this is just another promotional avenue for them in an alliance with obviously one of the biggest employers in the country. So
right.
A good partnership for Milwaukee-based Manpower for sure. Let's talk quickly about Harley-Davidson in Queens in terms of their dealership there. What do you know?
Yeah, they announced on their website in recent days that they are closing. Hmm. And it's the only one that's right in the sort of New York City circle.
Yeah.
They're saying they cited economic conditions, and then there was some vague reference to real estate. They did get back to me yesterday after the story already ran. Something to do with they needed a different site. Harley's trying to upgrade their dealerships. But this follows about a month ago, the San Francisco, in the city of San Francisco, dealership closed. So, I mean, Harley sales are down, and the dealerships are facing some challenges right now.
Yeah, and Harley has, what, like 1,400 independently owned dealerships in 100 different countries, and some of them are... You know, they're front-facing marketing vehicles, if you will. And you like to think being in a market like Queens would be strong exposure for the brand.
Yes,
for sure. But ultimately, you got to be selling motorcycles.
Indeed, you do.
Indeed. All right. Well, motorcycles don't always contribute to big traffic in cities, but I want to talk about traffic in Milwaukee and what the Wall Street Journal's new analysis had to say. And... new paper towel coming to your local Target, made right here in Milwaukee. The news you can use right here on The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Finally, traffic and paper towel. Like, two big topics that everyone cares about. As a Milwaukee company, we kind of invented a better paper towel developed right here in the city of Milwaukee.
The company's called Sellers Absorbent Materials, owned by the Sellers family, S-E-L-L-A-R-S.
Okay.
60th and Mill Road, sort of the older industrial area of the city.
Yep.
They've got a couple of plants on the northwest side. They have a product called Bravo, and their CEO gave me a demonstration right in his office of pouring some water
pouring some
on the table.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Here's the Bounty, the quicker picker-upper, and here's Bravo. Their product sells for approximately the same price. And it's more absorbent, apparently, and more durable, doesn't fall apart. So they were able to convince Target stores to do a test.
Ooh, nice.
At 305 locations plus Target.com. None of the stores are in the Milwaukee area.
Okay.
But Target.com has the Bravo towels. They're selling them in six packs.
Okay.
And my wife and I are just starting a test at our home, so I'll be able to come back, with a report.
Have you done any of the side-by-side testing with the bigger brands? Like, I want to see it. I want to see the video on your social media feed, Rich.
Yes, okay. I will work on that.
All right. So, I mean, kudos to them for getting into Target as a kind of a startup brand.
Yes.
I mean, to get into 305 stores and on their website is a great opportunity. It's always hard for me to kind of, when you price compare paper towel, you got to look at, you know, what's the quality. Some of the stuff, like the generic brands, are kind of like paper or like sandpaper almost. So yeah. You gotta look like the Bounty select a size paper towels are like $16.99 for like six mega triple rolls. Some of those feel like cloth and are really super absorbent, and like I said, some of them is just not quite as good. So to have another quality option that's local in the mix, I mean, for my money, I'm gonna try it out.
Go for it, man. I mean, the other thing is that I've noticed with the paper towels is the sheet sizes have shrunk. So they can say we've got X hundred sheets on this roll, but it's like they're three quarters of what they used to be.
Yeah, and if you price compare on sheets, number of sheets, it's hard. Like, yes. It's hard. The whole pricing of paper towel, it kind of fascinates me, I'm not going to lie. So I'm really interested to see how this brand does, for sure. So as you're talking with all your stories, talking to CEOs and leaders across the area, what do you feel are their thoughts around lower commute times for employees in the area? It seems like something we highlight in Greater Milwaukee. And a new survey says Columbus, Memphis, and Milwaukee have some of the fastest commutes in the country. Is this still a differentiator in our market?
It's certainly something that I hear economic development officials around the area and some business leaders talk about. I mean, Dale Quenga from the Association of Commerce put it on his LinkedIn. That's how I found out about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a selling point. I mean, I think it's in the stack of selling points for Milwaukee that are out there for growing businesses that are here or bringing in new business. You know, and it's something we take for granted here in Milwaukee, no doubt about it, that as much as people might complain about it, I mean, to call it a rush hour is sort of laughable in Milwaukee because if it's taking you an hour, I'm not sure, you're going from Caledonia to West Bend or something.
Yeah, I mean, this new analysis looked at Lyft rides, it looked at census data, looked at federal traffic data, 22 minutes per way was kind of what Milwaukee clocked in at. So, I mean, no matter where you live, I think there's this perception you can get anywhere in Greater Milwaukee in 20 minutes, right?
Right.
So if it only takes you 20 minutes to get to work, I think that's a selling point for sure. I mean, the flip side is maybe we don't have as much density or stuff to do in the market. But I don't know. I think it's a selling point that we need to kind of continue to hone in on because the larger markets, without a doubt, you can spend 2 hours in your car getting to where you go need to go, and it takes away time and productivity.
We don't have the commuter rail kind of thing, so that's where Milwaukee doesn't have a presence. Yeah. So your car is really the only option. But the good news is that's partly because you can get places quickly in your car.
All right. What else are you working on this week, Rich?
Can't say. Keep an eye on our website. No, I've got some news in the commercial printing industry today. That's going to be on our website later. And a little update on Harley-Davidson's Livewire.
All right. Very good.